Welcome to Business Ahas, a show about the eureka moment that launched you into the next level of success. I'm here with your host, Jim Hayden, and I'd like to welcome our fabulous guest, Deanne Palin. With over 25 years of business and executive leadership, Deanne specializes in helping businesses through turnarounds and growth. She takes pride in identifying and solving key business issues and creating game-changing strategies. From restructuring organizations to implementing various technologies and building and operating processes and a strong performance culture. She is the principal owner of On Point Business Solutions, a company that provides expertise in operations and strategic human resource management to accelerate business growth. As a proud advisor for Arizona Growth Advisors, she has extensive experience in operations, human resource management, and culture change expertise. She understands great strategy and excellent execution comes from amazing people. We simply must know her business aha. Take it away, Jim.
Oh my gosh, Danny, thank you so much for a great introduction of Deanne. And I'll tell you that I'm so excited today. And it's actually been a kind of a point of reflection for us, Deanne. You're our first female guest. Very interesting. And when I say a point of reflection, we've been doing this now for some time. And to not have a female guest until now really makes me kind of wonder why. It's fascinating. And obviously getting to know you better, you were the first woman in the boardroom in the group in an organization. You're the first person on your executive team that was female. And I'm wondering, is that this trend of leaders in women is really fascinating, because, you know, why haven't I had a woman on the program before now? But I thought it was interesting. So I wanted to share that. So, you know the deal, Deanne, I'm excited today because you're going to get to share your aha moment with all of us. And as a result, I'm going to get to hear it for the very first time. And with that, the stage is yours. Good morning.
Great. Thanks, Jim. And it's an honor to be the first woman with you all. I grew up on a ranch in Montana, and I had about 26 first cousins. Most of them were males, and we all had to help out on the ranch. And, you know, I think that played over into my corporate experience, too. I never really got too worried about being the only female or the first female. And I learned my way out of how to wrestle out of getting a Sharpie mustache from my cousins early on. And it kind of plays well through my whole life. So thank you. My aha maybe fits in with that a little bit. And that's just, I learned that it's okay to quit. And I'll tell you a little bit of that story. You kind of played up some of it, but having grown up on a ranch, you don't ever get to quit. You know, I had this dad that was very stoic and tenacious. And, you know, we were up at 5:30 every morning in moon boots, feeding cattle and turning bales in the summer and weeding my mom's garden. And you didn't get to opt out because it was 20 below and the cows needed fed. You know, they kind of had a need to be taken care of. And it taught me a lot about tenacity and work ethic and staying power and frankly, caring for people and things. You know, you know that others are relying on you and you step in to do that. And I tell you that story because, you know, throughout my career, I never quit anything. You know, it wasn't in my gene pool. It wasn't something that I was able to do. So this aha is a big one for me.
Oh my gosh, that's very, very fascinating. It's okay to quit. And I obviously giggled when you said the Sharpie mustache. So give us an example of when, or very specifically, the time that you did that and realized that it was okay.
Well, okay. So I moved through my whole career just feeling the need to kick butt and take names, right? Got to make dad proud. And I paid my own way through college. I had a job before I finished college, you know, lined up, ready to go with Motorola. Got my master's degree, graduated outstanding senior, just kept powering on through. And it was about 20 years into my career. So call me a late bloomer or whatever you'd like. But I had been married 16 years. And I was an executive at a job that everybody would have, if I told you where it was, they would say, oh my God, you had the best job in the whole world. And I say, no, I didn't. It was a long time coming. My marriage was not awesome, and neither was that role. And it wasn't about the role. I loved what I did. Absolutely loved what I did. I hated working with the person that I worked for because there was a lack of integrity, a lack of honesty, a lack of care for people. It's all stuff that I grew up learning, right? And learning not to quit. And I woke up one day, literally woke up one day and said, I'm done. I'm done with
Jerk.
And I filed for divorce and quit my job in the same week.
Quit and filed for divorce the same week.
And I was the breadwinner. So just put that in perspective.
Okay, so hang on. So when you say I woke up one morning and decided, you know, you just didn't decide to go for a walk that day. You decided to like change your entire life.
Yeah. Now, I decided, and then I built a plan to execute.
Sure,
like that's
sure,
the operations
yeah.
person in totally me. I'm not the guy that's going to walk in and go food stamps.
You literally went timeout. You gave yourself a timeout and said, okay, we need to regroup here. Yeah. This isn't working. And then after you had your timeout and figured out, okay, I need to have a plan, and you came up with a plan. How long did it take you to come up with the plan?
Probably about 3 months, honestly. I mean, I just really needed to process through that, make sure I had my ducks in a row, you know, sharing a lot here. And this is another thing I've learned is just be transparent and authentic, because when you need to quit, you need to do it in a way that is true to who you are, and sharing that with other people is okay. So out of desperation breeds bravery, I think. I think that's really what it comes down to. But it was such a good lesson for me. I started my own company and created a purpose statement and a business model, and I just got going. And I have never looked back. That was in 2014. Never looked back.
So when you said desperation breeds bravery, do you think you had the bravery, it just needed to be uncovered?
I think I had tenacity and work ethic and, you know, a belief that I could make good. So yeah, I guess maybe that's bravery. You know, if in hindsight, you know, some might've called that insanity. I gave up, you know, great perks, flights, places, excellent pay, retirement accounts, right? I gave it all up.
Sure.
What I learned in that is something I've transitioned and taught clients. It's okay to say no. It's okay to say no to crappy customers that take all your staff's time and treat them like dirt. It's okay to say no to friendship. You know, you've got your tier ones, which are those handful of people that would go to the wall for you. You know, they would bail you out of jail. They would, you know, in my case, fill my fridge with food when I need it. And I would do the same for them, right? And then you've got your tier two. They're lovely people that you love spending time with, but they're not your go-tos. You know, you've got your best suit on when you're around this group of friends. And then there's tier threes that you just see occasionally. And part of my quitting process was realizing I was going to quit trying to treat everybody like they were tier one. And it gives me more time with the customers that I love. It gives me more time with the business and the work that I love. It gives me more time with the friendships that are good for me. And, you know, I'm going through another level of trying to figure out how to quit doing things at work that I don't love. You know, there's stuff we're good at, but if it doesn't get you juiced in the morning, like get out, you know, find a way to do those things that fire you up and get that going in your belly, right?
Yeah, for sure. So when you said friendships come with tears, I immediately thought of tears, which is interesting because that probably also resonates with tier one, because in tier one, you can only tier with.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I remember one of my friends in my divorce, mind you, I'm a single mom with a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old, dealing with all kinds of legal issues, trying to start a business, like just going out of my mind. Right. And I had a friend call me, and I would never ask for help. Like that just was not something I would do. And she said to me, I'm not accepting that. She said, tell me right now, three things that I can do right now.
And she probably said, I'm on my way.
She totally did. And you know what? She's been a friend that's been on her way for me for a lot of things. Just absolutely amazing.
Tell me three things right now that I can help you with. I love that. Right.
It was like one of those moments where I was like, oh, because, you know, I don't want to fail. Right. So I'm going to come up with my three things.
Sure. Oh, my stars. That's fantastic. I think a couple of things really resonated with me. Number one, it's okay to quit. And the quit's obviously a negative word. So I'm wondering if it gets, you know, reworded in like when you watch a football game and the coach says, timeout. And yep. Why is he doing that? He's doing that in basketball. He's doing that, mm-hmm. or she's doing that because they need a reset. They need to talk about something that is not going as planned, and it's purposeful. And that purposeful decision allows them to regroup, come up with a different plan, hopefully a better plan. And that's exactly what you did. And it fascinates me because along with that, you also then realized the quality of different friendships. And all we have, Deanne, is time. And the time that we have together has to be the best it can possibly be all the time. And if it's not the best it can be, right?
Yep. And I would even take it one step further because it is a timeout. It's a chance to regroup and take inventory. It's all those things you said. But it also is a way to clean your house, right? You're creating space to invite new visitors, whether it's, you know, when I'm done with a customer, I have a huge amount of integrity that when I feel like I'm not adding value anymore, or I'm not feeling connected anymore, or like what I'm saying or working with and their operation isn't resonating, I'll be the first to call timeout because they need to go find space for that next level of learning. And so do I. You know, I want to go to work and I want my purpose to be on fire. And the minute I feel like that fire is diminishing, you know, it's time to change that. And, you know, my goal in my life is to make sure my girls know how to tear friends, say no, and be okay with it and feel like that's a huge success and a sign. I tell my customers, it is a sign that you have arrived when you can decide you don't want certain customers anymore, that they don't fit your model, they don't fit your target, they don't fit your culture, whatever it is.
That's interesting because normally if you quit, you're a quitter, mm-hmm. and it's a sign of weakness.
Right.
And I'm wondering if by doing this, it's actually a sign of strength. The sign of strength to say, you know, we need to push the pause button here. We need a timeout. We need to regroup and talk about whatever X is. This ain't working. Right. And as opposed to not doing anything, having that same job, being in that marriage, you know, we're here for this much time.
Right.
Make the best of it
right.
every single day, every minute of every day. That's absolutely fantastic, Deanne. And I am I'm thrilled because after our business ahas, I usually think for a few days later about the exact words that are shared. And that really resonates with me, especially in the client world, where you say this isn't working like it's supposed to be working. And calling time and having that big boy, big girl conversation of things just aren't going as planned. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
And being genuine about it. You know, I think that's, so I'll tell you, my purpose statement is engender growth through wisdom and humility. And I'll tell you why I picked those words. And gender growth, that was the last word I came up with, because it's not a very common word, but no. I kept kind of working through synonyms, right? Like ignite, infuse, whatever. And gender means that you're creating it in another person. You're finding it in another person. You're uncovering it in another person. It's not you, the doing. It's you, the infuser, right? So it's really about helping others find their place to grow.
Through
whether
wisdom.
It's in their company or their right. business.
Through wisdom and humility.
And the wisdom's about making sure I'm the best there is. I never want to get promoted or be on a show because I'm a woman. I love that was a surprise and an aha for you. You know, I was a first.
Wait a minute.
On
wait a minute.
Board.
Wait a minute. You're a woman.
Well, most days, yes. Last well, time I checked, Jim, I am
yes.
a woman.
I say that in slightly in tongue in cheek because I didn't realize that you were the first. I didn't think about you being the first, and it shouldn't matter.
I love that. I mean, I'm going to tell you a moment that I had a reckoning with myself. I was chosen for a board, a nonprofit board, a very, very large board. And I was chosen because I was a young, successful executive female, right? And they wanted to shake up the board. And I knew that going in. So I was okay with it because I was passionate about this board and the work of the board. And I thought, okay, so you need your numbers, right? And I never worry about that because I'm like, I'll show them. I'll show them that they got a goodie here and that they're not going to regret this. And it was 8 years later, I was sitting as chair of that board after having been through quite a growth. And I was looking around the board. There were 45 members and there were former mayors, CPA, partners at law firms,
sure,
you know,
sure.
And I thought I earned my place here. And I hope I showed them that just opening a door doesn't mean that you're blocking it for someone else. I believe wholeheartedly in helping women succeed because I think we're not always our best advocates of each other, but I also am not an advocate of affirmative action or anything like that.
It's fascinating when you say those words, because I wonder if the biggest problem that we have with leaders, irrelevant of gender, is self-confidence.
Absolutely.
I wonder if it is, well, I can't do that because I only have two arms. Well, everybody else has two arms.
I'll tell you, exactly. I'll tell you something there's a couple things that I see a lot of women getting their own way on. One is confidence for sure, you know, not showing up and having the kind of that core that says I deserve to be here and being willing to stand out and be different. Because we're kind of trained, not on purpose, but by being the only female usually in boardrooms or executive spaces. Now the mix is a lot better than it was when I started, but you look around the room and you're like, ooh, I don't look like the others. I better act like them, right? And so you show up and you try to hold yourself the same way. And I think the place where women can have the best growth is realizing this infinity loop between grit and grace. And when I talk about grit, I mean like, you're tough, you're smart, you stand on your feet, you're confident. I'm not talking about, you know, bitchiness and being male dominant. That's not what I'm talking about. People often think of grit as a masculine and grace as feminine. And I don't see it that way at all. Grace is about stepping in and being patient when you need to be patient, let others take lead, you know, being forgiving when someone makes a major screw up and helping them grow and learn from it, and being gracious with yourself too. And so when I talk about grit and grace, I mean that in terms of how you show up with others, but also how you show up with yourself. There's times I need to kick myself in the butt, you know,
so
and that's gritty.
Absolutely. You said something, a couple things that really resonated with me again. Number one, you said a word And I counted. You said it 6 times.
Which one?
And I'm going to repeat it, but I'm going to repeat it in a way that I think that people miss the point. You said, show up.
Mm-hmm.
Show up. And if you show up, when you use the term, you know what? You just need to show up. And when you show up and you like that, you're sending a message that you are coming in and being confident feel as though that you should be there and that you are, it's right for you to be there. And the second word you said resonated with obviously grit and grace, but the second word, which was grace. And obviously having placed thousands of people on boards for the last 15 years at our company, grace in a boardroom in large part doesn't overly exist with men. For a man to use the word, I'm going to use grace in today's board meeting. They'll look at him like, what?
Yeah.
But
who took
over
your body?
Yeah. In reality, to allow a person to finish their thought, to allow them to say what they're saying, you speak because you don't have to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
You speak after you've processed something and then you share your thoughts on it. And if somebody cuts you off, you get quiet. You know, let them do their thing. And you'll give them grace, you'll provide grace, and then you'll come back in. Wow, that really hits home as well. And I wish it was done more in the boardroom instead of speaking to be heard, but speaking to not necessarily have to be heard.
Right, right. And, you know, I think being authentic has a lot to do with that, you know, and looking into another person's eyes and wondering what their morning was like. You know, we often assume someone's in a grumpy mood because of us or because they didn't like your idea. I mean, you don't know if they spilled coffee down their pants and had to go back home. You don't know if their mom got diagnosed with cancer. I mean, I've learned that I've got a story. I mean, I know I do. I look in my mirror and I'm like, yeah, yesterday was kind of crappy. And tomorrow's going to be great because I'm going to make it great. But other people have days too, right? And
For sure.
I think that grace, I had to unlearn a lot of bad habits from boardrooms, you know, fighting for your voice, jumping in, trying to get credit for stuff. And I've learned the more wise I've become with work that giving honor to other people, even if you did 70% of the work and they did 30, I'm okay giving credit because I believe in karma and I believe in grace. And I believe that good, my dad used to say cream rises to the top, right? And that's a farm term. He used to say a whole lot of other funny things too, but
it's interesting in the farming world, correct me if I'm wrong, when that cream rises to the top on a farm, you actually swipe it away and get rid of it.
Oh, you don't get rid of it. You sell it for a premium.
Oh,
because that's the cream you put on your fresh strawberries, Jim.
Very good. Wow, that was fantastic, Deanne. And I can't thank you enough today for taking the time to share with us your aha. I'm going to call them aha moments. It's just been just such a thrill to have somebody that can share genuine, raw conversation, not be afraid that, oh my gosh, I'm going to share something that's going to uncover, you know, the inside of me. If you do that and you show that level of vulnerability, I think that level of vulnerability also shows your ability to be strong. And I can't thank you enough for sharing that with us today. For everybody who's watching today and to be able to really think about the level of the difference that you can make if you take that time out and you show that level of authenticity and vulnerability. And so from bottom of my heart, thank you for joining us today. It's been fantastic and have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for tuning in to Business Ahas, a show about the eureka moment that launched you into the next level of success. Brought to you by Board Developer. If you appreciated Deanne's story and could relate to her business aha moment, please take the time to like, subscribe, follow, and share. All the things we love to do. We really appreciate it.